in reviewing some of her notes. As you do here, she liked to take notes. And her handwriting is not like mine. She has good handwriting. And I delighted in reading some of her notes. We continue this evening on the study that we have been pursuing from 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. Besides this, giving all diligence, as we have remarked, your Bible say add. The better word is develop. We're not just adding one thing or another. We are developing. As a child develops, we are to develop faith. But we started with faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We accepted the Lord Jesus by faith. Supply in your faith. Develop in your faith virtue. In your virtue, knowledge. In your knowledge, temperance. And in your temperance, patience. And that's our subject still tonight. We've been talking about patience. We noted the patience of Joseph, the patience of David. Tonight we want to talk about a man who did not have patience, who did not wait on the Lord, as we read in the Psalms. Wait on the Lord. Wait patiently on the Lord. Wait silently on the Lord. Book of Jonah, chapter 1, please. Book of Jonah, chapter 1. Verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Go to Nineveh. Verse 3, but Jonah. Again, one of those buts. Go to Nineveh, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down. He went down. You remember in the Gospel of Luke that certain man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho? And whenever you go down, you're going to be in trouble. Jonah went down. Notice verse 3. To Tarshish, to flee from the presence of the Lord. My. To flee from the presence of the Lord. Read Psalm 139. Wherever we go, the Lord is there. He sees us. And throughout his word, we are told that he sees us. I remember years ago, a missionary couple came to the meeting in New York. I don't remember what he spoke on, but I remember what she sang. You cannot hide from God. Jonah went to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You cannot hide from God. His eyes are to and fro. He sees you on every move. He knows the way you go. You cannot hide from God, no matter how you try. Your every deed is seen by his all-watchful eye. Now that's the poem. If any of you know the music, please let me have it. You cannot hide from God. You know when I learned this verse? When I was 4 years old. It was evening time. My mother was in the kitchen, and I was in the kitchen with her. She put on the lights. Didn't have electric light then. Shows you how old I am. You know what we had? oil lamps. Well, some of you don't even know what an oil lamp is like. She put on the light. There was a door leading from the kitchen into the dining room. There was no light in the dining room. The dining room table was a round table. And on that round table, she put a tablecloth that went down to the floor. And I said, Mother, if I go into the dining room, get under that tablecloth, will God see me? And I can hear her voice now. Arthur, wherever you go, God sees you. He went to hide from the presence of the Lord. Can you imagine that? You cannot hide from God. Verse 4. The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was likely to be broken. God sent a great storm. Now read with me verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God, cast forth the waters that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah went down the sides of the ship and fell asleep. Can you imagine that? Oh, beloved, let's stay awake. Let's be encouraged. This is not sleeping time. Romans 13, please. Jonah went down into the sides of the ship and fell asleep. Romans 13, verse 11. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in clambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Jonah went to sleep. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 5. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. This is not time to sleep, beloved. Let us all stay awake. Let us watch and be sober. They that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken, are drunken in the night. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet and the hope of salvation. Jonah fell asleep. He thought he would escape the presence of God, and then he fell asleep. But we're going to read some interesting things about Mr. Jonah. Brother Jonah, by the way. He's going to heaven. Verse 9. Well, then, let's read verse 8 first. Then they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What's your country? Of what people art thou? Now notice verse 9. He said unto them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the land. And he's down in the hold of a ship sleeping. Very sad picture, is it not? A child of God in the bottom of the ship sleeping. But then we read on. We read on. Verse 11. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm? The sea wrought and was tempestuous. Jonah was the cause of the tempest. We read in Isaiah 55 that the ungodly are like the troubled sea. here is a man of God contributing to the unrest in the world. Isn't that sad? A man of God contributing to the unrest that is in the world. What influence do we have on the world? And we do have an influence. Genesis chapter 18. A man of God contributing to the disturbance in the world. Very sad. Genesis chapter 18, verse 20. The Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. The men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou destroy the city with the wicked? The righteous with the wicked, pardon me. Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for 50 that are righteous? Thus that be far from me to do, to slay the righteous with the wicked. The righteous shall be as the wicked. That be far from me. The Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, I'll spare it. The effect that the righteous have on the troubles around. But let's read further. Verse 27. Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. The effect of the righteous on the situation in the world. Verse 30. He spake unto him yet again, peradventure there be 40 found. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And you read all the way down. It got so will you destroy the city if you find 10? And he didn't go any lower. You know why? I think it's because he was afraid there weren't 10 righteous ones. We, as the Lord's people, have an influence on what's going on in the world. We have a profound influence on what is going on in the world. 2 Kings chapter 3. Verse 10. Verse 10, 2 Kings chapter 3. The king of Israel said, alas, that the Lord hath called these 3 kings together to deliver them into the hands of Moab. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord, that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Get to the prophets of thy father. Ahab was a wicked king. The king of Israel said unto him, nay, the Lord hath called these 3 kings together to deliver them unto the hands of Moab. Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, Surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look at you. They wanted Elijah to pray for them. Elijah said, the only reason I'm doing it is because that one man, Jehoshaphat, the influence of a righteous man, of a godly man, on the world around. What influence are we having on the world around? You've heard the story of the young girl. She spent the summer with her aunt. Her parents weren't saved. She went to spend the summer with her aunt. When she returned home, she said to her parents, I'd like to go to Sunday school. They said, fine, go to Sunday school. The Sunday school asked the first pupil, under whose preaching were you saved? So-and-so. Next, under whose preaching were you saved? So-and-so. Came to this young girl and said, under whose preaching were you saved? She said, I wasn't saved under anybody's preaching. How were you led to the Lord? I was led to the Lord by my aunt's living. We are to have a profound influence on the world around. What do our neighbors think of us? What do our friends think of us? Are we having an influence for good on those around? Jonah said, this storm is because of me. That's terrible. A child of God, the cause of the unrest in the earth, in the world. And beloved, we have to be careful that we are not contributing to the unrest. We have to be careful where we spend our money. Almost every day I receive a request in the mail for this cause and that cause. And the causes are all good. But they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't regard his people. They don't believe in the Bible. Be careful where you spend your leisure time. What do you enjoy in your leisure time? You may be contributing to the unrest in the world. Be careful what you look at on TV. Your entertainment, you may be contributing to the lawlessness in the world. But we are to contribute to the betterment of the world. Now we go on with Jonah. Verse 15. So they took Jonah up and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging. A man of God, the cause of the unrest in the world. And when we flee from God, as Jonah tried to flee from the presence of God, we are contributing to the unrest in the world. And you know, as I do, that there is plenty of unrest out there. Fathers killing their wives and little children. Unrest in the Congress. Unrest, we often think of the unrest in Iraq. There's plenty of unrest right in this nation. Let's not contribute to it. Verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Did you believe that? Did you believe that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish? There was a brother who said, if the Bible said that Jonah swallowed the fish, I would believe it. Would you? Would you believe it if the Bible said that Jonah swallowed the fish? Would you believe it? I would. If God says it, that's the way it is. But let's continue. chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. But he's the man who's trying to escape God. He finds himself in difficulty, and now he's praying to God. That reminds me of a story that I've heard. This man was an atheist, and all of his co-workers knew that he was an atheist. Didn't believe in God. There is no God. He worked in a machine shop, and one day the sleeve of his uniform was caught in the machine. And as things were, his arm would be severed. And he cried out, "Oh God, help me." They heard, they turned the switch and stopped the electric current. And when things settled, they said to him, "You said you don't believe in God. But when that machine was dragging you, you called out for God." You know what he said? "If there isn't a God, there ought to be one." And when people get in enough trouble, they recognize that God is. Here is Jonah praying to the Lord whom he's trying to escape. But when things got real bad with him, he decided he better pray. Trying to escape the presence of the Lord, but down in the belly of that fish, he realized that God saw him. And God sees all that's going on. Check the various scriptures that tell us. Psalm 139, Isaiah, various scriptures. Wherever we are and whatever we do, God sees and God knows. Verse 2. "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. He heard me out of the belly of hell. Thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas. The floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then said I, I'm cast out of thy sight, yet I will look toward the holy temple." Verse 10. "The Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land." Isn't God gracious? Isn't God good? Trying to escape God's presence, found in the belly of a fish, he decides to pray, and God answers his prayer. The goodness of God, the mercy of God, the graciousness of God. But we go on. Chapter 3. "The word of the Lord came again unto Jonah the second time." I wonder if I would have given Jonah the second chance. Would you? But God is so gracious. Isn't he gracious to us when we err and go astray? We petition his throne and he receives us back. "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city. Preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. He cried and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Verse 10. "God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. God repented of the evil that he said he would do, and he did it not." God spared Nineveh. Now read verse 1 of chapter 4. "It displeased Jonah." Can you imagine that? Jonah is displeased because God spared Nineveh. That's odd, isn't it? Now, just for the purpose of connection, read verse 9 of chapter 4. "God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry." Why, my, my. He is angry with God. And God asks, "Are you right in being angry with me?" And he has the gall to say, "I am right and you were wrong." Jonah was rude and crude. I am right, and you are wrong. Oh, the grace of God. You know what I would have done if I were in that place? I would have cut him down. But God didn't do that. God was merciful to him. The folly of arguing with God. And so many people like to argue with God. Like to tell God, if I were in your place, I would do it a different way. Now, I know you know these scriptures. But for the sake of our encouragement, let's look at a few scriptures that tell us about the might of God. Book of Job, please. Chapter 9. Book of Job, chapter 9. Verses 10 and 11. Job chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. Shall not they teach thee and tell thee and utter words of their heart? Can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow up without water? Chapter 11, please. Verse 7. Oh, here's a question for those that argue with God. And I was speaking to a lady even recently. Why does God do this? Why does he do that? Why doesn't he do... Chapter 11, verse 7. Can you, by searching, find out God? Can you find out the might Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? You can't find out God. Chapter 37. Arguing with God. Chapter 37. Verse 23, 37 and 23. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. How are you going to argue with him when you can't find him out? And yet foolish men and women argue with God. Even as Jonah said, I do right to be angry. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Men do therefore fear him, respect not any that are wise. And I like the one in Isaiah chapter 55. You know, I get a great satisfaction out of reading the scriptures. So you must bear with me when we turn to them. And try to get the same thrill that I get as we read the scriptures. Chapter 55, verse 8. Isaiah 55, verse 8. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Isn't that profound? God doesn't think like us. Why should he? He knows everything. He doesn't have to think like us. Neither are my ways your ways my ways. God doesn't do things the way we do. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. I like that verse. And when these folks come arguing, disagreeing with God, I like to say, well, what do you know? God knows everything. And as the heavens are higher than the earth, so his thoughts than ours. And there is Jonah saying to God, I have a right to be angry with you. Oh, beloved, I know we're not guilty of that. I don't believe anybody here would do that. But there are those out in the world who think that they know more than God and argue with him. Chapter 4. Verse 5. Chapter 4. Verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city, sat on the east side of the city, made a booth, sat under it, till he should see what would become of the city. Jonah was waiting, but he wasn't waiting on God. He was waiting to see what will happen, but he wasn't waiting on God. Joseph waited on the Lord. David waited on the Lord. And others in the Word of God waited on the Lord. He was just waiting. Oh, beloved, wait on the Lord. Don't just wait. Don't just wait for things to happen. As I think I mentioned last time, we had a Secretary of State, Secretary Burns. Brilliant man. And the key to his success, if we would call it that, was the fact that he would wait. He would just wait and wait and wait to see what happened. And Jonah just sat there waiting to see what would happen. And then the Lord taught him a divine lesson. Verses 6 through to the end. The Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. Isn't God kind? Wasn't God kind to Jonah, protecting him, giving him protection from the sun and from the heat and from the cold? You'll have to pardon me, but I don't understand. God is so kind. After Jonah's behavior, and here he prepares shelter for Jonah. Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. My, my, my. God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. It came to pass when the sun did rise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Let's be careful of our prayers. You remember Elijah? When Jezebel chased him? Check it in 2 Kings, 1 Kings and 2 Kings. He prayed that he might die. And he never died. Our prayers are to be in the will of God. Job lost all that he had. He prayed that he might die. Read the last chapter and see how he ended up with twice as much as he ever had. Let's be careful how we pray. We are to pray in the will of God. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed that way. If it be thy will, so shall it be. Be very careful. Don't pray for what we want. Let's pray for his will. We read on. God said to Jonah, we have touched on this before, dost thou will to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do will to be angry. My, my, my. How rude to speak to God in that manner. Let's be careful how we speak to God. He's our Heavenly Father. Let's approach him with reverence and let us choose our words. From time to time, I listen on the TV and the radio to some of God's servants as they speak. And they're not very careful of how they speak to the Lord. The man upstairs the big boy. No, no. That's not the way to address the Lord. You ought to address him with respect. Then said the Lord, verse 10, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. Notice verse 11. Should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left? Oh my. And Jonah wanted these people to be killed. He was angry because they were not killed. He had the wrong value of a human soul. Few scriptures. Luke chapter 12. Verses 6 and 7. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God? The birds that we see flying around. God has his eyes on them. What a God. Even the hairs of your head are numbered. Do you know how many hairs are on your head? Oh, I remember. I think I told you this. Back in school, one of my assignments was to count the number of hairs on a human head. And I took a little area, counted the number of hairs in that area, then counted the whole area, and assumed that for every little spot in that scalp, there were the same number of hairs that I had counted in the first spot. That wasn't scientific. But God knows how many hairs are in the head. He knows how many are mine, and they're very few, as you can see. Even the hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye of more value than many sparrows. The value of a human soul. Ezekiel chapter 33, please. I know, as I have said before, I turn to many scriptures. Beloved, get in the habit. That's the only way you're going to learn the Word of God. And the thing that will thrill you is the Bible explains itself. Now, I don't mean you shouldn't read commentaries, but the Bible explains itself. Ezekiel 33, verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. Why will ye die, O house of Israel? The Lord does not want to punish. He wants to save. Jonah missed that point. First Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2. Starting at verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. Have you prayed for Saddam Hussein? Ever prayed for him? For all men. Kings, those that are in authority, the United States Congress, they need a lot of prayer. We often talk about the enemy in that place and that place. We got a lot of enemies right here in this country. A lot of enemies right in that Congress. The Lord says, pray for them. He willeth not the death of the sinner. Read it in Isaiah. Do you know that hell was not originally made for man? Hell was made for the devil and his angels. And Isaiah tells us, in order to accommodate man, God had to make hell larger. He never intended for man to go there. What a thought. What a thought. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved? The Lord wants all men to be saved. 2 Peter chapter 2. Chapter 3, I'm sorry. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anybody to go a lost eternity. And we do well to pray. Pray for Saddam Hussein. I'm going to say it. Pray for Hillary Clinton. And that other fellow, Baraka, who thinks he wants to be president. They need our prayers. Pray for them. I'm finished. And where I have not completed the thoughts, when you go home, take the Bible and open up and see what God has to say. He would have all men to be saved. Jonah was selfish, tried to hide from God. We cannot hide from God. He sees what we do and he knows where we go. And he would have all men to be saved. God said, go to Nineveh. He was disobedient. He went to Tarshish and hid himself and went to sleep. You cannot hide from God. Number 500, please. Trust and obey. That's the lesson. Jonah was disobedient. God would have us to trust and obey. Number 500. Chapter 26, verse 19. Paul says, wherefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient. Isn't that lovely? I was not disobedient. That's what Paul said. Jonah was disobedient. Shall we pray? Holy Father, we bow in thy presence. Give thee thanks for thy word. May we learn the lesson from Jonah to trust and obey. Not to argue and debate with thee, but to take thy word, take thee at thy word. Dismiss us now with thy blessing. Bless those that could not be with us as we give thee thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.